are moving into a realm in our church, just from the years of teaching, OSL, discipleship, all the different things that we're doing, and we're really seeing our younger generation begin to really grow and to come back to church. And so there is a culture shift that is going on in our nation. And one of the major aspects of the culture shift is that church is becoming important again. The enemy meant for COVID to be that thing that would bring destruction to the church. But I see even my own organization that I serve in is growing and is becoming really healthy. We have great leadership, but we are really moving into a realm, and just all the ministries that I minister to on the outside of our church, that I'm seeing a lot of growth. We have now on Sundays three groups that are meeting in their living rooms between 20 to 40 people in three different groups, 20 in one, 30 in another, and 40 in another, and they're meeting. So what I'm doing is I'm working with the people. They want to do that as their ministry, but I'm working hard to get them all to go to church because, you know, I enjoy home church, but there's just nothing like church where we all gather from all cities and walks of life. And but praise the Lord, at this time, we are seeing great things happen. Our church plants are becoming healthier and healthier and growing. And it's just really a wonderful thing. Thank you for bringing your children to church. And my wife came home. She got home about 3:30 today and was busy after church. And she said, it was just great, new kids, and the Lord's really beginning to do some very particular things. We have great teachers across the way, and even tonight we have our children and our youth. I was sitting in the office with Jack Taylor, and we were just talking about the blessings of the Lord. So let's go ahead and conclude the series that I've been teaching on. And I called it The Cross and the Believer. And I want to finish with a subtitle called A Willing Heart Produces a Winning Life. And I'm going to explain what that is. So in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Obedience, you know, some say, well, I will do it, but I don't want to. We're going to learn really, truly what obedience is. And a lot of times, obedience to the world is a cuss word. I'm not going to be subservient to anybody. You know, there's obedience. Obedience is so important in your walk with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5 through 7 says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time, and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. We're talking about a willing heart. And Paul is writing here, and he's talking about, okay, I have to do this. Have you ever been that at work? Where, you know, your job site, that's what they want you to do, and it's like, ugh. All right? But this I say, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, obedience must be coupled with willingness. All right, so as we're talking about obedience, it's not some, you know, slave owner type of mentality. Obedience is a willingness. It is where your heart begins to be molded and shaped where even though at times I'm there too, at times I don't wanna, right? I don't wanna, but I understand that it's the leading of the Holy Spirit. Part of that, if I'm at work, I have a boss, and I'm supposed to submit to those in authority. So we have all these truths in Scripture, but I just want to kind of paint the picture so the word obedience is not a cuss word to you. Because it is to a lot of people, all right? It has more than four letters, but it's a cuss word to a lot of people. So obedience must be coupled with willingness. Now, a willing heart will always, always, according to Scripture, always produce a winning life. Some people pray, God, I know you want me to do this, and I will, but I want you to know I don't want to. See, sowing willingly produces a lifestyle of winning. Sowing grudgingly produces a lifestyle of receiving grudgingly. So it makes life hard. When I am around a lot of people, and I'm at a grocery store, or I'm at a mall, or at a restaurant, and I see people that get, like, they get angry. You know, it's like the bacon wasn't like they wanted it. And they mouth off, you know, they're... And it's like I look at that and I know that they struggle in life. Because how important is it for bacon to be cooked perfectly? Now, when I order bacon, I order it well done, almost burnt. All right, that's why I like it. But if it comes to me, not exactly, I'm not going to throw a fit. Because I understand that I've developed my heart. I'm still developing, by the way. And I will be doing that until Jesus comes and gets me. But I have a heart that's developed that the bacon isn't as important as the person that's serving me. Have you ever been blamed for something you didn't do? All right? A waitress, all they did is wrote the order, wrote it down, burnt bacon, and the cook doesn't want to do that. Cook doesn't, you know, cook it that way, but I like it that way. It's not her fault, right? It's not his fault. And so in life, we see things all the time. People are struggling grudgingly. We're going to use that term, and we'll explain it more later on. Because they feel like that they're the victim or they're the one that, you know, I always have to do this and I can't do this. In other words, what I'm trying to bring today is instead of thinking of obedience, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, think about obedience is about your heart. So when you become obedient, truly obedient, something's changed in your heart. Because true obedience comes out of the heart. So let's go on. And I'm kind of setting you up here, and I'm building the blocks here. So listen very closely. I have emotions like you do. I might not want to do something, but I have to choose to do it. And how I choose to be obedient is correcting my heart and become willing. Obedience is that you do it, because how many of you know people do things, but they're not really obedient because they're not willing? The Bible says you're not going to receive a blessing by that. That blessings will come grudgingly because, I'll say, I know you don't do this, but I've copped an attitude. Okay, I'll ask. Anybody's ever copped an attitude in life? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we all have. And so we have to understand to really get true obedience, to get true blessings from God, you have to correct the heart. So when the I don't wanna mentality comes, and I mean, there are things that are hard. Some of you have jobs that are really hard jobs. I love what I do. It's not hard at all to me. I mean, sometimes through the years, there's been some people that are hard, but I love people. Even if sometimes they're ding-dongs, I love them because they're God's people. And the reason why I do that and I'm obedient to what I'm called to do is because I've corrected my heart. Because I'm a type A personality. I like things a certain way. And when I do it, I want to do it a certain way. Now, I've learned in life there are people that know how to do the same thing better than me. So if I'm smart, I'm going to learn from them, right? And so we have all these wisdom things that we can learn, but you and I must recognize that obedience is not about what you do. It's about the correction of the heart. I must control my will and get my will involved in my obedience. Now, if you want to, turn to Exodus 25. We'll get there. But we're going to say quite a bit before we get there. The hardest place to find obedience coupled with willingness is in the area of your finances. In Exodus 25, God delivers Israel out of Egypt and blesses them financially. But the real story is God put an anointing, watch this, on the women, and they became insistent on Egypt turning their wealth over to Israel. I will tell you, even back in the Old Testament days when people don't know how to teach about women, you know, in spiritual ministry, it was the women that created the culture that brought the blessings of God out of Egypt into Israel. And so the real story is God put that anointing and they were willing to press forward into doing that. So the wealth of Egypt was because of the anointing on Joseph and his wisdom given by God. Psalm 105, verse 6 through 38. Yes, we're going to read this, but I ask you to turn to Exodus 25 so you can look at the screen. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. Listen to what he's saying here. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for statute. To Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give you the land of Canaan as an allotment of your inheritance. When they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons till the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princess and his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. He turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. Their land abounded with frogs, even the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their territory. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He struck their vines also and their fig trees and splintered the trees of their territory. He spoke and locusts came, young locusts without number, and ate up all the vegetation in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, the first of all their strength. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Let me say that again. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. So the story you see in the movie, Ten Commandments, walking with canes as they were leaving, was false. There was none feeble. I want you to understand, none feeble. 3 million. 3 million. And there wasn't one with a cane. God promised this in Genesis 15. I'm building this. Here's another block. Genesis 15, verse 13 to 14. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions." That was four generations, and later 430 years it took place, what was stated here. Now, today, in Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present her, the church, God's people, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, let me just tell you, church, when they came out of Egypt, there was none feeble. And here about the church, dead is a spot and lack is a wrinkle. I'll say it again. Dead is a spot and lack is a wrinkle. That is not God's plan. God's plan is that we become obedient. What does that mean again? A corrective heart, a heart that is used of God, a heart that is ready to, and I'm going to use the term, to submit, to come under a mission. That's what submission means. And it brings us to a place of, instead of, you know, I don't want to do this, I'm not sure I'm supposed to do this. Anytime you get into that area, correct your heart. Get your heart into an area of a willingness to obey the commands of the Lord. When you get the result or the information or the revelation of what that is. All right? So our battle is not obedience. Our battle is the corrective heart or the non-corrective heart. Because if your heart is corrected, you will become automatically obedient. All right? But notice in every story, because of disobedience, because of all these things, there was grudgingly the blessings of God and the covenant that God made with Israel didn't manifest because of disobedience. But then in the obedience that they corrected their heart, then what happened? They came out with many blessings. So today, put the many blessings is, what are you believing for? For your marriage, for your home, for your business. What are you believing for how you even talk with one another, friends, relationships, church? What are you believing for? What you must understand is it will come rapidly when there's a corrective heart that produces obedience. Does that make sense? It does, because it's scripture. That's what the word is showing us. All right, so let's go on here. God's plan is to bring you out, and when you come out, you're not going to be feeble, broke, or hurting. That's a promise of God. In other words, what you came out of does not cripple you. What you have faced in life, emotionally, physically, what if does not cripple you? And because why? Because your heart is pure. So today I proclaim to you in Jesus' name that you're in your willingness, you will win what you're believing for. So here's a main point. God has a purpose, and we find it in Exodus 25. So I ask you to turn to that. Let's begin to read verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. There we go. Pastor talking about money again. We're talking about obedience that will produce success. We're talking about the corrective heart. So let's follow this. Speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly. With his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, oh, that sounds really good, ram skins, dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. So you're talking about the priestly order and faith, all right? So the question, where did Israel get all this stuff from? It came from the anointing of Joseph that God gave, and it was the women of Israel. We could go back there and read the story, but it was the women who brought up the culture, who created the culture of a corrective heart. Because they could have come out of being slaves, and which they did, the first generation coming out of Egypt, they died in the desert because they wouldn't correct their heart. Right? They died in the desert because of a non-corrective heart, because of disobedience. But after that, we see the obedience and the willingness of the people, and then the blessings of the Lord just began to pour all over them. All right? So it came from the anointing of Joseph that God gave. So the principle is God put it in their hands. Came out of Joseph's obedience, but remember, you remember the teaching I did on the 10 tests you must face? All right? And remember Joseph, it's a story of Joseph, and the first two tests he failed. But once he passed it, because God gives us another chance and another chance and another chance to pass it, once he did that, everything else he passed with flying colors, and God just blessed him abundantly and his family who rejected him, but because of his corrective heart, Israel was blessed. So all the goodness you have ever experienced in your life comes from God. You have a job. Thank God for it. You might be looking for another job, all right, but God gave you that job. Correct the heart. God says, what I put into your hand, let me see if you know your source. Give it back to me. That's why we're talking about money. You give it back to God. If God put gold in your hands, will you serve gold or will you serve God who gave it to you? Amen. You can use that principle in every area of your life. Church, we wouldn't have what we have if it wasn't for God. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12 through 14. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. In other words, what we give in our tithe, what we give away from our gifts or whatever, it's all God's anyways. The things you do on your business, your job. Most people have more fear in running out than faith in running over. I'll say that again so you get it, so you really hear it. Most people have more fear in running out than faith in your cup running over. So what we need to do in a corrective heart is honor the God of provision. That's Jehovah Jireh, the provider. And in your corrective heart, you don't, Exodus 25 and what we just read is telling us when you correct your heart, you know, it's not just do it right. No, the corrective heart is that you're correcting it by understanding God is in control. Even though your emotions feel the way they feel, you correct your heart, and how you win is that you correct your heart in saying, I believe with all my heart God's in control and he's got my back. He's got my front, he's got my sides, he's got everything, amen? But how many of us struggle? I had a conversation with someone because I was on the golf course a few weeks ago, and we met up, Ronnie Garcia was golfing with me, and then we met up with two other guys, really good guys. And one of the guys, about the ninth hole, I said, hey, Patrick, you okay? And he said, no. I said, yeah, I was watching you the last hole. I said, what's going on? He said, well, my heart rate is up to 145. And I said, it is. And then, you know, guys would be guys. I said, because you were walking up that hill? He said, no. He said, after I got the COVID shots, my heart just goes all over the place. And my heart doctor told me that there's a percentage of people that have this now because of the COVID shots. And I said, oh, man. So I said, well, you didn't know this, but I'm a pastor. Would you mind if I prayed for you? He said, no. So I prayed for him there. And then right when we said amen, one of the, they call them ambassadors or whatever, and they're just driving around making sure everybody's okay. And the guy drives up, you know, didn't see him the whole time. He drives up and I said, hey, can you give Patrick a ride to his car? And so we left. I didn't get his phone number, so I prayed. I believe he's good. But I said that to let you know is then I had a conversation with someone else, and I was telling him the story of Patrick, what happened. And they said, oh, well, I'm going to take the shot. And if you don't ever get the shot, then, and they went off that spiel. You know, they were angry and frustrated and mad. And whatever decision we make for our own bodies, that's fine. So I'm not talking about what you do, you know. I don't take the shot. All right, and the reality is, I just don't want to see stuff like that. And I would say this to you though, but studies with your children, I would encourage you to talk to your doctor about it, because it could hurt in especially the young girls of having children later on. But here's the reality. That person was so fearful. They said, every time they announce there's a new shot, I go that day and I get it. And they're so fearful about things. Now, I'm going to say this, a little caveat. I get that because of what we've heard in our world. The fear and the death and all that. You know, especially people that don't know the Lord. I get that emotion, that feeling. But I don't get when they don't walk in wisdom, right? But I'm just telling you, fear. And there are a lot of believers today that are living in fear over what's taken place in our world in the last few years. And I just want to encourage you, if you're struggling in this area, let me just tell you, become obedient to the Word of God. And how you become obedient to the Word of God is you take Scripture and you begin to understand that Scripture is describing who your God is. Like this morning, it's not what you do, it's who you know, God, knowing who He is. And walk with patience with people who are walking in fear. But we have a tendency to live in fear and not faith. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And this is our will. Nothing will come between me and the Father. That should be our will. My treasure should be relationship with God. And by that relationship with God, being in obedience, then I have great success because He's the one that gives it. So whenever I have a need, I know what to do. I ask the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to give?" Oops. So when I have a need, I've learned, "God, what do you want me to give?" But you have a need. I know. But see, that's the heart of the matter here. That's a heart of obedience. It's when we are struggling in areas, will we give in that area? When we're struggling financially, will we give financially? I'm going to be straight with you. This is Sunday night. I'm not talking about being stupid about it, right? I'm talking about being led. Being led about it. And correcting the heart. Because if you do things out of fear, I just gotta give more offerings so that I can get more. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. How it works is you're led of God, returning the tithe, obedience, and you're led of God, obedience in what He asks you to do above and beyond. That's your finances, your love, your care, your giftings, your skill sets, sometimes even your home. My wife and I have shared our home many times with Bible college students and with people that are, we know their parents and have great relationship, and they move out this way to go to work in Hollywood or work in something, and they live with us for 6 months to get their feet on the ground. And so we're able to do that. We're able, and it doesn't, you know, hinder us. We know how to work with people. We know how to tell people. Terry and I need our own time, so going up in your room or whatever, you know, we've learned how to work with that. But it wouldn't work if it wasn't led of God. Everything you do must be led of God. Why? Because everything you do to get success must come out of obedience. You can't have obedience unless you're led. So I'm led of the Holy Spirit. That's my drive. That's my desire. That's my passion. I'm not led of fear. I'm not led of what the governor does. I'm not led by, you know, what this person does or what this person says. I'm led by God, what He says scripturally, and also what He says to my heart. And I always align my heart to what He says, not what I'm experiencing. Because if I do that, have that willing heart, God will give in abundance to me all things. All right, following that? I mean, it's so important. It sounds so simple and like a cliche, but it's not. It is throughout the whole Bible. That's why I've tried to read you scripture from around the Bible. So 1 Chronicles 29:16 says, "O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name. It's from your hand and is all your own anyways. I add the word anyways. But it's all your own. So having a willing heart produces a sanctuary where he can dwell, and his presence produces victory in your life. So when you have a corrective heart, which produces obedience, you've created a sanctuary for God to dwell. I've never had to say, God, where are you? He's got a sanctuary. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about an anointing and a presence of God. Okay, I'm not talking, well, yeah, we got the Holy Spirit. And I understand that. But I'm talking about a presence of God that is always with you wherever you go. So don't ever be in bondage to the creations of God. So this is the key of maintaining the blessings of God that brings victory by not being in bondage to the creations of God. Be in bondage, a bond slave, to the Creator of all things. That's where you choose to serve the Lord. Don't ever possess something that you're not willing to give. When God tells you to give, because that produces your breakthrough. Don't ever hold on to anything that is of creation. Hold on to the Creator. And what that'll do is cause you to move in such a spiritual high, a willingness to walk in the anointing and obedience that will always produce success. Well, let's go back to the book of Job. Job 36:11 says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness and joy. Let me give you a caveat of that, because this is the way people think all the time. Especially when I used to do travel and do conferences, and there'd be 5,000 people, 10,000 people, and I'd be speaking, then you'd always have the person that would come, yeah, but. And Pastor Bradford, who was one of my mentors, used to say, goats butt and sheep follow. Yeah, but. And they would say, yeah, but if we do that, what if this, what if that happens? And if these things happen, you're not always going to have joy. The Bible says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because God has overcome the world, because you are serving and obedient to the Creator. He's the one that has caused victory in everything. And even though we've suffered loss, we've seen things in this world, tragedies that have happened, that doesn't remove joy out of you. There's a time for mourning. There's a time for sadness. There's a time for tears. But if that's all there is, it's because we haven't corrected our heart and haven't become totally obedient to the things of the Lord. And so joy doesn't overwhelm you, sadness does. And so the scripture doesn't tell you you're not going to have sadness in this world. We do. Because of sin, there's death, there's sickness, there's disease. There's all kinds of things that are out there that create such havoc for our emotions. But when you have a corrective heart, the tears will flow, the sadness will be there, but you will rise up the next day, early in the morning. Joy will arise in the morning. Why? Because your heart is stayed on him, not on the problems. Here's another thing. No, you don't stick your head in the sand. I don't have a problem. I'm a faith guy. If you do that, you got a problem. Right? But I am a faith guy. And I rise up in the midst of some really hard things through the years. Challenges. Things that have happened. Mean people. But you know what? I have learned with a corrective heart to stay obedient to the Lord. And I walk in forgiveness. I walk in love. I'm an encourager. And I want to challenge you to rise up and allow yourself to walk in this obedience and willingness to serve God. And here is the total definition of obedience and willingness in service to God. It's called worship. It's called worship. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Isaiah 1:19, here it is again, we started with this. "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Because you are living with a corrective heart, and you are walking in obedience to the things of the Lord. That's how you have good success. That's what the cross has provided for us. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. I love teaching the Word. Tomorrow's my favorite day. All right, so I'm going to be very particular on this. Tomorrow's my favorite day because I close the office on Monday, and I come in, and no one's here, and I study all day and pray all day. It's an awesome day to be with the Lord. I'm asking you to find, maybe because I do this for a living, but to find that hour, that 2 hours in a week, 3 hours, 5 hours, whatever it may be. Just really spend that time with the Lord. Correcting the heart. That's the first thing I do Monday morning. I get in there, I open up my Bible, and I say to the Lord, show me anything that I need to see so I can change my heart. Amen. You know what I found? I say that all the time. He's always got some things I need to change. You know? And really, I'm not standing up here like, wow, follow me because I'm the... No, I'm an example, yes. But I live this life like you do. But I have the privilege and I've chosen to be obedient to my call. And with that obedience to my call, then I dive in. I've suffered loss, I've suffered hurt, all kinds of things, but it's never changed my heart and desire to love the Lord, to love his word, and to walk in accordance, in obedience to my call. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I proclaim an amazing blessing over this house, every home that is represented here. Every relationship, every marriage that is just standing in this house, I proclaim a blessing and success and victory and prosperity over that. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, that we serve the Creator of the universe that has given all things. And Lord, we are absolutely willing to give it back to you, whatever you ask. In Jesus' name, amen.